In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation, and as always, it's great to be with you. We're going to begin, of course, our family conversation by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. And we also invoke Mary in that beautiful prayer that we say at the end of the Rosary. That's the Hail, Holy Queen, in which we invoke Mary. Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's beg Mary to come with us, to pray with us, to pray for us, and to bring us closer and closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's invite our spiritual director to be with us. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God has many titles. He's known as the Paraclete. Catechism of the Catholic Church calls him the gift of gifts sequence that we pray in Pentecost. We call out to the Holy Spirit as a sweet guest of our souls. Holy Spirit is also our consoler. In the midst of our desolations that we go through at times, he's also known as our counselor. Our consoler and our counselor. Holy Spirit is our comforter. And the Holy Spirit, this has to be said, is our interior master. Because we really don't know how to pray as we ought. So the Holy Spirit, St. Paul says in Romans 8, intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means daddy or father. So let's beg the Holy Spirit, our interior master, our intimate friend, to be with us, to enlighten our intellect and to set our hearts, and to set our hearts on fire with divine love. As we pray, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, a world without end. Amen. Our Lady of the Rosary, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Francis Xavier, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Welcome, family of perseverance, the family that prays together, stays together. How true. So in the Mass I'll be celebrating later on, I'll be praying for all of you, because the greatest of all prayers, the greatest of all prayers is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The holy sacrifice of the Mass. So my first intention will be that all of us would strive today and always to be open to the Holy Spirit. To be open to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. We can say, during the course of the day, this prayer, come Holy Spirit, come. Come Holy Spirit, come. Come Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Come Holy Spirit, come. Come Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. My second intention will be that you as parents would be the best of teachers toward your children. Especially in the ways of faith, that you would take it upon yourself to really guide your children into the light of truth. Last night in one of my formation classes, one of the mothers came up to me saying, Father, I really want to take my daughter out of this public school. She said, we talked about homeschooling in a retreat that you gave earlier. She said, the Spanish teacher is telling the students, the founder of the LGBT. Also, she said that you've got boys that are wearing dresses at school. My daughter is appalled at what she's seeing. She's asking me, Mom, please take me out of public school. Take me out of public school and place me, allow me to finish my school by homeschooling. So this is just an example I'm giving to you that happened just a few hours ago. Very good Catholic woman. Her daughter was in my confirmation class about a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, and now she's exposed to this ideology, this agenda. So you as parents, it's incumbent upon you to protect your children from this onslaught of evil. And you have the support, of course, my support. We're in a family together. We're trying to work together to save our families, to save our children, to save our teenagers. And finally, my friends, my third intention, as always, will be to pray for the conversion of sinners. To pray for the conversion of sinners, especially for deathbed sinners. Those who will be dying today, who seem to have lost all hope, that they would open up their hearts to God's infinite mercy. So my friends, those are my intentions I'd like to place on the altar. Let's pray for each other. So as we start our conversation today, I'd like to talk to you about, related to the first reading, where St. Paul contrasts the works of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. The works of the flesh, which lead to death and condemnation, and the fruits of the Spirit, which lead to eternal life. There is what is called today, as a response to the onslaught of evil that is present in the world, a concept that can be explained in the terms of the Benedictine option and the Marian option. What does this Benedictine option, the Marian option, mean? Well, years ago, the young Benedict was brought up and raised by a good family. He had a twin sister whose name is Saint Scholastica. Benedict started his studies in the city of Rome. He was not there a long time, where he was appalled at the immorality that was so pervasive in the Eternal City. And Benedict made the decision that he would no longer stay in the city of Rome because he was jeopardizing his spiritual life, placing his salvation in danger. So he decided that he would flee from Rome. So he took off and he went south to a place called Subiaco. In Subiaco, he sought refuge in a cave, where he spent long hours, days and weeks in prayer and meditation and fasting. Because of his great holiness, men sought him out. They asked him to be the superior of their community. Reluctantly, Benedict accepted that role of responsibility. But it did not turn out well for those men that wanted Benedict to be the superior because he was too strict. He insisted upon silence and penance and fasting, long hours of prayer, and they didn't like that at all. They wanted someone to abet and to approve of their leisurely lifestyle. Such that one of them tried to poison Benedict. So he fled from Subiaco to Monte Cassino. In Monte Cassino, he established what we call the Benedictine Order. And basically promoting a monastic, contemplative life of solitude and silence and work and prayer, separating themselves from the world. So there you have the foundation of the Benedictine Order. So when we say the Benedictine option, it means fleeing from the evils of the world and seeking refuge in God. In God alone do I find my security and my safety, as the psalm points out. Now, that being said, how can we apply this to what is called the Marian option? Benedict sought refuge in the cave, in the monastic life. We want to seek our refuge in Mary. Remember the time of Noah, when the rain came down during this deluge. When the rain came down, then the deluge hit. Noah found refuge where? Noah found refuge in the ark. Noah, his wife, his sons, his daughters-in-law, as well as the animals. They were saved from the impending disaster which would descend upon them in the flood or the deluge. They were saved. They are saved in the ark. That ark of Noah is symbolic of Mary. Tomorrow will be Our Lady of Fatima, October 13th. The last apparition of Our Lady of Fatima to the children. The miracle of the sun, which we'll be talking about tomorrow. But I believe, my friends, we have to seek refuge in the Immaculate Heart of Mary. If we seek refuge in the Immaculate Heart of Mary, then Mary will bring us to the heart of Christ. That's a way in which I'd like to rejoice with all of you, because yesterday, as I mentioned in earlier talks last week, my new book was released yesterday. And copies were delivered to our church yesterday. I invite all of you to get a copy of my new book, and I'd like to present it to you as a means of seeking our refuge in Mary. St. Paul speaks about the works of the flesh: immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, rivalry, jealousy, outbursts of fury, acts of selfishness, dissensions, factions, occasions of envy, drinking bouts, orgy, and the like. St. Paul gives a whole litany of the works of the flesh. And we're surrounded, we're immersed in a society with almost all of those works of the flesh are present, available to us, knocking at the door of our hearts. Whereas if we have this love for Mary, what's going to happen through her prayers, we will be able to be led by the Spirit. And we'll allow these fruits to take root in our souls and to grow and flourish. Those fruits are love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and generosity and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. So you have the workings of the flesh, which want to drag us, St. Paul says, those who do those works will not have a place in the kingdom of God. In other words, they'll be lost. They will go to hell. That's what St. Paul is saying. So we want to find our true refuge in God through His Mother Mary. So I'd like to present to you, my friends, my fourth book. Took a long time for it to be published. I'd like to present it to you, invite all of you to try to purchase this new book. It's very beautiful, the cover, and here we have it. Okay, this is my book. It's called The Compendium of Marian Devotions, written and compiled by yours truly. On the front cover, you have Mary with the child Jesus, and you have Saint Dominic. Mary with the child Jesus and Saint Dominic. Mary gave the rosary to Saint Dominic. Here we have the text itself. Now, I'd like to basically explain the content of this book that was released yesterday by Tan Publishers. And my explanation of the book will give you a pretty good handle on our whole thrust of what it means to really get to know and love Mary. In theology, which means the study of God, one of the branches of theology is Mariology, the study of Mary. To have an integral, complete study of Mary, there has to be various elements. Now, this book of mine, Compendium of Marian Devotions, it basically covers the various aspects of a complete Marian understanding or Mariology. Now, I like to kind of compare Mariology to a salad. If you've ever gone to Olive Garden, they have a really good salad. Salad has the salad itself, but also then there's condiments. One without the other is incomplete. So an integral, complete Mariology should have both doctrine and devotion. Doctrine without devotion can be very arid or dry. Whereas devotion without doctrine can degenerate into sentimentalism. So in my new book, Compendium of Marian Devotions, there are various elements. When I started off writing this new book about 5 years ago, it took a long time. My original intent and purpose was simply to write a very simple book on 25 to 30 Marian devotions. When I say Marian devotions, I mean some of the following. Praying the Angelus, praying the Memorare, praying to Mary 9 days in a row, we call that a novena. Marian consecration, which I've been doing the past 10 years in different parishes. The wearing of the scapular. The miraculous medal that Mary gave in 1830 in Rue de Bac to St. Catherine Laboureil. The 5 first Saturdays. Devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Praying the Litany of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Consecration of one's family to the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. What is called the Golden Hail Mary. All of these are called Marian devotions. And you're going to see the very heart of this book. It's called Compendium of Marian Devotions. The very heart of the text would be those devotions that I mentioned and others. And then what this does, this kindles within our hearts a great tenderness and love for Mary, which all of us should have. Cultivates within our hearts this tenderness, this love for our Mother Mary. Now, that was my original intention. But with my editor, he really felt that this book was meant to do immense good, and he was asking me along the way to add new chapters to the book. Brian, who helped me in the editing of this book, was suggesting other things to me, and I followed his suggestions. And he said, well, this is not simply a Marian book, but I think that this is a book that also should present Marian doctrine too, Marian dogma. And as I preached before, doctrine in of itself can be arid, but if we just have devotion, that can degenerate into mere sentimentalism. So there must be a good Mariology requires both the doctrine and the dogma. So I was able to explain. I was able to explain the Marian dogmas. So when I say the Marian dogmas, these are the truths of the faith that the Church has proclaimed in time that we must believe if we're going to be Catholics. And I don't even like to say must believe, because we should be rejoice in knowing and believing these Marian dogmas. What are they? The Immaculate Conception. The perpetual virginity of Mary. Mary's divine maternity. Mary's assumption into heaven. Immaculate Conception means that Mary was conceived without the stain of original sin. Perpetual virginity means that Mary was virgin before the birth of Christ, during the birth of Christ, and after the birth of Christ, Mary maintained her promise, her virginity, that she gave herself fully and totally to God in body, mind, heart, and soul. She belonged totally to God. Mary's divine maternity means, and this is the greatest of all Mary's privileges, the greatest of all, her divine maternity means that Mary is the mother of God, the Theotokos. This was proclaimed in the year 430 in the Council of Ephesus, proclaiming that Mary is the Mother of God. The last Marian dogma was proclaimed in 1950 by Pope Pius XII, Munificentimus Deus would be the papal bull, proclaiming the dogma of the Assumption of Mary, meaning that the end of Mary's earthly life, the end of Mary's earthly life, that Mary was taken up into heaven. She was taken up into heaven, body and soul. Mary is taken up into heaven in body and soul. In that Feast of the Assumption of Mary, we live that out every year on August 15th. August 15th is the day in which the Church celebrates Mary's being taken up into heaven, body and soul. Those are the four Marian dogmas that will be will be presented in the book. But not only that, Brian said, well, why don't you add to your book so it'll be even more complete? You got the devotions, you got the dogma, why don't you present in your book the approved, I say the approved, Marian apparitions. Not those that are in question, but the approved Marian devotions, rather apparitions. Why not? Why not write a few chapters on those? So I said, all right. So I was able to put together three separate chapters on three of the most important approved Marian apparitions. And they would be Our Lady of Guadalupe, Our Lady of Lourdes, and Our Lady of Fatima. That's right. Our Lady of Guadalupe. She appears to Juan Diego in the year 1531. Four times. And after these apparitions, within 30 years, you have close to 8 million converts in 30 years. Never in the history of the church has there ever been such a magnitude, a monumental, an enormous wave of conversion. 30 years, 8 million converts. That is incredible. They came as a result of the apparition of Mary. If you are Mexican descent and you're Catholic, thanks be to God, but thanks be to Our Lady Guadalupe. Thanks be to God, but thanks be to Our Lady Guadalupe. Then every chapter on Our Lady of Lourdes. Now she appeared in France in the year 1858. She appeared 18 times to this little shepherd girl whose name was Bernadette Soubirous. She appeared 18 times. In the Grotto of Lourdes. And the little girl, Bernadette, asked her, please give me your name so that I can tell the authorities. Some were dubious. They were doubting whether or not this was authentic. And at the end, a lady appears and she folds her hands and looks up to heaven. She says, Je suis l'Immaculée Conception. Which translated in English would be, I am the Immaculate Conception. That's right. I am the Immaculate Conception. That's very interesting because Lourdes took place in the year 1858. The year 1854, the Catholic Church, presided over by His Holiness the Pontiff, Pope Pius IX, proclaimed Ineffabilis Deus that Mary was the Immaculate Conception. Proclaimed dogmatically the privilege of the Immaculate Conception, that Mary was conceived without original sin As the poet Wordsworth pointed out, Mary is our tainted nature's solitary boast. So, 4 years afterward, 1858, Mary says to Bernadette, "I am the Immaculate Conception." By saying that, that gave even more proof to the dubious or the doubtful that these were authentic apparitions, because a little simple, uneducated girl that could barely learn her catechism would not be able to pronounce the Immaculate Conception without having this divine intervention from Mary. So in the book you'll have a chapter on Our Lady of Lourdes. And then there will be a chapter on private devotion, on the miraculous medal and the apparition to St. Catherine Laboureil in the convent in Rue de Bac in Paris in 1830. Which is actually before the apparitions of Our Lady to Bernadette. Finally, in the book, the last apparition that I'll be explaining would be Our Lady Fatima, which Our Lady appeared in the year 1917 in the little town of Fatima. She appears six times to these three little shepherd children, Francisco, his little sister Jacinta, and Lucia. And as already mentioned, tomorrow, which is October 13th, is the anniversary of the apparition, the last apparition, which Our Lady promised a great miracle. And the miracle was the miracle of the sun, which the sun twirled around like a Ferris wheel, went around and around and around and around and around, resulting in many conversions. So that's another element or part of my new book. Then I have a couple of pages on what the saints speak about Mary, the Marian saints. St. Bernard, St. Peter Damian, St. Alphonsus, St. Peter Canisius, Francis de Sales, John of Avila, St. Bernard, St. Bonaventure, John Paul, Louis de Montfort, Anthony of Padua, the Curé of Ars, and St. Louis de Montfort. There's a couple of pages on what the saints actually say about Mary. Now, another very important element or part of this book would be the following. Is in this book, we have beautiful art. And I'd like to show you one or two pictures. Look at this. Here we see Mary at prayer. Beautiful artwork, basically taken from Europe over the centuries. How true it is, my friends, when we say that a picture is worth more than a thousand words. Here we have another picture of Mary in a relationship to the Eucharist. Mary adoring the Eucharistic Lord. So I have a chapter on Mary and the Most Holy Eucharist, which the bishops want us to cultivate a greater love for the Mass and the Eucharist. Here we have Mary and the Holy Spirit. See the Holy Spirit overshadowing Mary. This would be the Annunciation. Beautiful artistic depiction. My friends, it gets better and better and better and better. Here's one of my favorites. This is another one of the Annunciation. This is probably my favorite with respect to the Annunciation. There we have it. We have the angel, Archangel Gabriel, appearing to Mary. Mary in prayer. Mary's yes. And then you see above, you can see the Holy Spirit, the form of a dove, descending upon Mary. So, my friend, there's just so many beautiful things. Here's another one. The picture preceded, which precedes the litany of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So I've got a chapter on the litany of the Blessed Virgin Mary, then an explanation of the litany of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So after talking about the art, then there's the appendix, which is the last part, which we have Marian prayers. You're just going to have a whole series of about 10 pages of Marian prayers. 10 pages of Marian prayers. So this is called a compendium. Compendium of Marian devotions. Written by yours truly, and I invite all of you to see if you can purchase this book. You can come to St. Peter Chanel and you can purchase it at the office. You can purchase it at the office. But also you can purchase it from 10 publishers. And you might even buy more than one copy. It's a little bit pricey, but it's worth the while. Now what I'm saying, my friends, going back to the whole idea of the Benedictine option, as well as the Marian option, is what I said at the very beginning of my talk. Meeting this after my formation talk last night, this woman came up to me with almost tears in her eyes, with a real sadness. Because about 6 months earlier, I gave a retreat in a nearby parish, and she was present there. And I was mentioning some of the dangers that parents have to confront today. And I mentioned to this woman that a real option could be that of homeschooling. So I think, my friends, we have to seek a true refuge. We have to find a refuge security in the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And I believe that this is a portal, a door, an entrance in the Heart of Mary would be by reading through with your family. You know, what you might even do is this. We're in the month of the Rosary. Purchase this, and every day, maybe read a page. Most of the chapters are about 8 pages. Read one page. Then look at the beautiful artistic depiction that is present at the beginning of that chapter. And then from that, you can start to pray the Rosary. So this could be a catalyst to help us to pray the Rosary. So let's try to connect that to the reading, of Galatians, where St. Paul contrasts the works of the flesh which lead to death and the fruits of the Spirit that lead to eternal life. Now, when we talk about the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit, you're going to see in my book at times how Mary is related to the Holy Spirit. Mary is related to the Blessed Trinity. A Lady of the Trinity is one of her titles. Mary is the daughter of God the Father. Mary is the mother of God the Son. And Mary is the mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. I repeat, Mary is the daughter of God the Father. Mary is the mother of God the Son. And Mary is the mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. So the closer we get to Mary, the more we'll be able to crucify the works of the flesh, as St. Paul says. He says, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also follow the Spirit. So Mary can help us to put to death the works of the flesh so that we can allow the fruits of the Spirit. Let's pray this to Mary. We can take this passage and pray this prayer, taking the Word of God, taking this prayer and say this prayer to Mary. It's kind of might even call it a Marian two standards. Mary, I beg through your prayers, finding refuge in your Immaculate Heart, keep me free from, a prayer to Mary, keep me free from immorality, from impurity, from licentiousness, from idolatry in its many forms, from sorcery, giving in to superstitions, from hatreds, which is diametrically opposed to what Jesus says, love one another as I've loved you. From rivalry, from jealousy. We see this in Cain against Abel, Saul against David. The Bible says that the sin entered into the world through the jealousy of the devil, or envy of the devil. Outbursts of fury. Mary, help me to be meek and humble of heart. Acts of selfishness, thinking only about me, myself, and I. Dissensions and factions, what the devil tries to do, and we see he's really done a good job in the modern world, in our country, even within the church, is dissensions, factions, and divisions. In unity, there is strength. The devil wants to divide us. So by being divided, we're weakened, we're debilitated. Occasions of envy. Drinking bouts. Another literary work that I'm working on now is that of overcoming gluttony. And one of the manifestations of gluttony is that of drinking. In our country, it's a very serious problems of addictions, among which would be the addiction to drink. St. Paul says, don't be filled with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Orgies and the like. So Mary, by praying to Mary, Mary will help. This is a prayer you can make. Mary can help all of these fruits, all these wonderful fruits of the Holy Spirit, to blossom and flourish and overflow into the lives of others in our lives. And these are the fruits of the Spirit, love. Mary can help us to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. She can help us to love our neighbor. Joy. How important it is for us to be joyful. God loves a joyful heart. As sadness is contagious, so joy, once lived and radiated, joy is also something that's contagious. It spreads like a beautiful aroma. Peace. Mary is also known as the Queen of Peace. St. Augustine defines peace as the tranquility of order. Once order reigns in our lives, we experience this interior peace. Patience. How important it is for us to be patient. We see Mary patiently standing at the foot of the cross. We should be praying for patience in our relationship with God, patience in our relationship with others, and patient even with ourselves. Once we fall, not to become discouraged, but to get up. Kindness. Makes me think of that book published by Sophia Press, Kindness by Father by that priest, Father, his name will come to my mind, but the book Kindness, which we're called to be kind people, being kind to other, is very, very important in our lives. Because there's so much meanness in the world in which we live. Mary can help us to be kind. And then we have the fruit of generosity. Being generous. St. Ignatius calls generosity also magnanimity. Magnanimity means we want to give to the Lord, not part, but we want to give to the Lord a very open, expansive, willing heart. And then there's that of faithfulness. We who have made our vows in religious life, we who have made our vows in our married life, we promise to be faithful to our commitment. In good times as well as bad. as health as well as sickness, riches as well as poverty. Until death do we part. We want to promise our faithfulness to God. Gentleness. Gentleness is opposed to brashness and rudeness. We don't want to be rude or brash or caustic or abrasive. Jesus' meek and humble heart was very gentle. Very gentle and very kind. And the last would be self-control. That through devotion to Mary, we would be able to control our body, our passions, our appetites, our desires. Self-control is a true manifestation of the workings of the Holy Spirit within our lives. So, my friends, I've tried to make a connection between the first reading taken from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, 18 to 25, and my new book. I just feel very happy that my new book was released yesterday. And here is, once again, my new book, The Compendium of Marian Devotions, written by yours truly. So I invite all of you to purchase this book and start to read it, and I believe this will be the Marian option. In this world in which there are so many dangers out there today, so many perils, so many dangers, let us all seek our refuge, my friends, in the Immaculate Heart of Mary and in the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Amen. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.